you please rise for our gospel lesson this morning? Our lesson comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 43. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. Thank you very much. Lynn, I knew most of the words of that song. I was up there singing it too. I got that. It was a great, great beat. I just love it. It's a great, great anthem. Thanks to Dan Nagolian for stepping in last week. I deeply appreciate his ministry to us and Kathy's ministry to us. We're glad to have them here. And a number of you have asked questions about, is the conference slipping them in here or something? No, they live here in the area and this is their church. And we are delighted to have them as a part of our family in Christ. It's good to welcome them, and it's good to see all of you this day. We have an interesting subject today. I don't know how I'm going to work this out. I mean, it's chapter 10 in the book of Fearless, for those of you who are doing the study, and it's just titled, Scared to Death. That's sort of the way I felt, I have to be honest with you, when I was a kid, and my brother Don, who was 7 years older than I, told Mom and Dad, I'll take Bob to the movie. And it was one of those horrible, terrifying, scary movies, you know, vampire movies. And I was just a little kid. And he took me to the movie in Elizabethville, Pennsylvania, and dropped me off and said, "I'll be back to get you." Scared to death. And then he picked me up, and he had the audacity then to say, "Bob?" No, he said, "Bobby." That's what my family called me. "Bobby, don't say anything to Mother and Dad." You know what I did, don't you? I got home and I said, "I was just scared to death." "Well, Donnie was with you." "No, he left me." "Oh, wow. Did he get it then? Man, that was so cool." And I remember that as if it were yesterday. And how many decades ago was that? I don't know. We're going to deal with this subject today, but I hope in a way that inspires us because of who Jesus Christ is in our lives. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together as the body of Christ, for loving us and caring for us and opening yourself up to us in ways we still can't fathom. Your love and your care and the giving of your very life that we might have life. Be with us this day as we look at your holy word, as we seek its message for our lives, and as we seek direction for our future. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Recently, I've been reading again a wonderful little book entitled The Ragamuffin Gospel. It is a fun book to read, and I found a little story in there that sort of caught my attention and really guided my thoughts for today, and it's about the late Rabbi Abraham Heschel, who was well known in his daytime as a great theologian and a great scholar. And this remarkable and gifted rabbi suffered a very near-fatal heart attack, and his closest friend Sam was at his bedside, and during the course of ministering to Abraham Heschel, Sam had conversation with him. And during the midst of that conversation, the rabbi said to Sam, he said, "Sam, I feel only gratitude for my life, for every moment I have lived. I am ready to go, I have seen so many miracles in my lifetime. The old rabbi was exhausted by just simply his efforts to speak. He was very critically ill. But after a long pause, this quiet pause, he continued, "Sam, never once in my life did I ask God for success or wisdom or power or fame. I asked for wonder, and God gave it to me." Wow, that's different than our prayers. We often go to God asking for things, all kinds of things, or help for somebody else. But very rarely do we go to God and say, "God, just give me a sense of wonder." I thought about this subject after reading that, a sense of wonder. And something struck me right away. Most of you know, I spent just a few years in the military as a chaplain. My last funeral service was in San Antonio, Texas. And it was a funeral for Major General Glenn Proffitt, Jr. A little bit of this story. He was the director of operations for the Air Education and Training Command, of which I was a part. And he and two pilots and a couple of other travelers were making their way to Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama. And the plane crashed short of the runway. And everyone on board was killed. The commander called me at home. Carolyn and I were eating dinner, and he said, "Bob, can you come over to my house right away?" I said, "Sure, I'll be happy to do that. You don't argue too much with a 4-star general." Although this one you could. He was one of the finest Christian men I've ever met in my life. And I went over, and he said, "I need you to go with me to see Jane." That was Glenn's wife. "And break the news that a plane crash has taken place. We don't believe anybody survived, but I don't have an absolute confirmation on that." And so I went with him. And eventually his wife and Carolyn came over to the house as well. And of course, as soon as Jane opened the door and saw both of us standing there, she knew something was wrong, preparing dinner for Glenn as he came home. And during the course of our conversation, she asked to talk to me in private, so we went upstairs to the library and we sat knee to knee, and she looked me in the eye and she said, "Glenn is gone, isn't he?" And I said, "Yes, he is." But that isn't the end of the story. The end of the story is much more beautiful and much more enlightening and filled with wonder as hundreds and hundreds of people gathered in the little chapel at Randolph Air Force Base, and a service of celebration was held. And the conclusion of that celebration, it was the last time that I performed a funeral as an Air Force chaplain, on active duty, that is. But it was not the last time I would hear some beautiful, beautiful words being sung by the cadet chorale and choir at the Air Force Academy. It brought back that thing of wonder that I've just been talking about. And when you grab a hold of the excitement of flying into space, the whole wonder of it, and if you're caught up in it, every time you get on a plane, whole wonder of the experience. But then the conclusion of it brings that wonder to even greater heights. It's called high flight. Many of you know it. Listen to the words.
"Oh, I have slipped the sturdy bonds of earth, and danced the skies on laughter's silver wing. Sunward I climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds, and on 100 things you have not dreamed of. Soared and swung shouting window, and flung my eager craft through footless halls of air. Up, up the long, delirious, burning blue, I topped the windswept heights.
What wonder is all about. Just the thought of that. I reached out and touched the face of God. Wow. It just grabs a hold of me, sends the chills up and down my spine. I wonder if we've lost a sense of wonder in our world in which we live in today. A beautiful sense of wonder. Or is it the case that we've grown up? You know, it's beyond us now. We've grown beyond that. When lately have you had to catch your breath because of a sunrise or a sunset here in Colorado? That sense of wonder. Oh, we complain because whether we're driving east or west, depending on the day, we have to wear sunglasses because the blasted sun is in our eyes. When have you ever been caught up in that sunset? Oh, wow. Breathtaking. Beyond imagination. Or when have you been taken back by the feel of the wind in your face as you come into the church rather than, oh, my hair is not going to be worth a hoot when I get in there. Not that any of us do that. A sense of wonder, gosh, the wind does sweep through this place. But you know what? Every time it blows, I'm thinking of the Holy Spirit sweeping across this land, that wind of God. Wow, what a wonder it is. We no longer let water run through our fingers with amazement. I remember doing that as a child as my mother pumped the pump, and I would be there at the spigot and the water would run through our fingers. We don't do that much anymore, do we? And just get amazed about water itself trickling over our fingers. I feel that way every time I go to the shore and see the waves splash up on the sand. That same spirit of wonder just excites me. I can just sit there. I don't even have to get into the water. And a peace which passes all understanding touches me like nothing else. What has happened to wonder? All those beautiful, beautiful experiences, like making faces at the moon. Remember how we used to do that as children? Because the moon was made of green cheese and there's bound to be a cow jumping over it at some time or another. And what about the flight of a hummingbird, those remarkable little birds? And what about those rare cloud formations? Remember as a child looking up and saying, look, that looks like a giraffe the way that's formed, or a rhinoceri. And oh, wow. We saw wonder in the silliest of things, and yet the most beautiful of things. A rainbow. After a summer storm. I am captivated by rainbows because every time I see one, I know God is there. Wow. After Carolyn's stroke, when the whole family came, and that was, 9 years ago now? one of the things that we looked forward to, every time we'd go outside, we'd go out and look right away to see if we saw a rainbow, because we knew then that God understood our plight and hers, our need and hers. I don't know how many times we went outside and we'd immediately run in and tell the other family members, look out quickly, there's a rainbow out there. And it wasn't just a little rainbow, these were big rainbows. What has happened to wonder? Oftentimes we don't even see them anymore. We don't even look for them. And how long has it been since you had a 3-scoop ice cream cone or listened to Beethoven's 9th symphony? The kinds of things that make us wonder and give meaning to our lives and make us smile, not only on the outside, but on the inside. Certainly the new can amaze us. Space shuttles and the latest computers and the coolest dress styles. iPhones, Blackberries, and laptops. I always love my Blackberries with milk and sugar on them. That is until tomorrow when the new becomes old. It's old stuff and it's considered outdated. It's outdated before we get it in our desk, but before we put it in our hands, it's already outdated. We need new stuff to replace the old stuff. But there's no sense of wonder even in the new stuff, except we're waiting for more new stuff to come. And we discard the old to get some new. And what has become the sense of wonder which in the past has marked us as the people of God? I was listening to this morning, just happened to hear the Lutheran Hour, because it comes on at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm shaving at that time. I am old enough to shave. And one of the things, a question that came to the pastor at the end of the show, he always answers questions, came from a traveler, a businessman who travels all over the country, and he said this. He said, you know, I go into many Lutheran churches and towns all over the place, and one thing that I've noticed, that when I walk in, no one greets me. And I don't find that too many people are happy at all. I go into the service and the singing is lousy. And the people don't act like they're happy about anything, including the pastor. He said, I get up and leave at the end of the service and walk out, and it's the same way as when I came in. I wonder if there's so many Christians across the world who forgot about the word wonder. That in the midst of this magnificent place, we don't see just a beautiful building, but the powerful presence of God that changes our experience in our life and prepares us to go out here with a different personality and a different view of the world and a different feeling about ourselves because God loves us. Are we so far removed from Christmas that we've already forgot the surprise? We've forgotten the surprise. We packed it away with the Christmas tree and the bulbs and the tinsel. The surprise was just a few weeks ago. Oh, come, Emmanuel. We all sang it. We looked for God to do something, and God did. God heard our plea, and he answered our prayer. Do not be afraid. You know the passage of Scripture. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy to all people. For to you is born in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said, look, you're going to find this baby in the least possible place you expect to find him. You're going to be born in a manger, wrapped up in swaddling clothes. And that's the one you want to find. That's the one you want to see. Well, I tell you, before you know it, the multitude began to sing. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Peace and wonder were there on that day of God's birth in his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because the greatest story in the world, the greatest wonder that we have as God's people, is that God came to the earth never to leave us again. Do you know that's what Christmas is all about? That's beyond my imagination, that God came never to leave us again. No matter what we do. For 20 centuries, that wonder has been felt in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, because you see, the church is so constructed that it makes people kneel before they enter the sanctuary. You have to get down on your knees to get inside. But that low, small door is a good symbol for us. It forces us to our knees and forces us to a certain sense of reverence and wonder and awe and humility as we come in the presence of Christ. And now, in just a few weeks, Easter comes early this year, for those of you who don't know that. In just a few weeks, we're going to start our preparation for Easter. It's called Lent. Or is it Lent? Well, some people don't know. But the day of resurrection, I was reading the scripture again the other day in preparing, and I just got all caught up in it early in the morning on that first day of the week. The two Marys went to the tomb. Jesus wasn't there. The stone was rolled away. Oh, we know the story so well, any of us can tell it. But does it still have the wonder of what happened on that first Easter when the stone was rolled away? And an angel said to the two Marys, "Do not be afraid." Scared to death? Absolutely not. Do not be afraid. While you're looking for a living among the dead, he's not here, he's risen. Go quickly and tell the disciples. And the women left afraid and left though with great joy because of the wonder of it all. It was beyond their wildest imaginations that anything like this could happen. And suddenly they meet Jesus and they fall at his feet. "Don't be afraid," Jesus says. He says this more often than you can imagine. Don't be afraid. I want you to go from here and tell my brothers in Galilee I'm going to see them. And see them he did. And Jesus stood among them in Jerusalem. "Peace be with you," he said. And the disciples were startled and frightened beyond themselves. "What's that again? Peace be with you? Well, we didn't even expect to see you." Ah, the wonder of it all. And the disciples were startled and frightened. And then Jesus asked the critical question, "Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? I promise that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Why are you troubled? Because I'm the shepherd and I've laid down my life for you." I want to know why you are troubled. "I will not leave you orphaned. You will see me, and because I live, you also will live." Why are you troubled? And then Jesus said, "Look at my hands and look at my feet. I'm flesh and blood. I'm not something transparent. I'm not a ghost. I am who you think I am. Let's eat." Oh, I love Jesus. He's so cool. I think Jesus at heart was a Methodist. He said, "Let's eat." And so what did they have? Rainbow trout. Hush puppies. Fried potatoes. Tossed salad and apple pie. That is not scriptural. But it's part of the wonder of it all. Jesus said, "Let's eat." He was real. The wonder of it all. Paul writes to the Corinthian Christians as an attorney reviewing the facts of a case, and I love his words. "For what I have received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was raised from death on the third day, that he presented himself alive to Peter, his closest followers, more than 500 of his followers, James, the rest of those commissioned, and finally to me." The wonder of it all. The Christ we talk about, the Jesus we talk about, is alive. People have seen him. He's eaten with them. He's talked with them. He's journeyed with them. He's real. And in today's emphasis, Max Lucado raises the question, are your days spent in fear of the final hour? Absolutely, totally, no. No, we don't live in any sense of fear. If we're caught up in the wonder of God's love for us in Jesus Christ, there isn't any. Oh, we may have our fleeting moments, and I join you with them. And the older we get, the more fleeting moments we may have. And the fleeting moments come when we lose a member of our family. And the fleeting moments come when a dear friend is gone. The fleeting moments come when we go to a high school reunion and some of the members are not there because they're dead. The fleeting moments come when one of our loved ones, especially one of our children, die before we do. Fleeting moments will come. Because why? We're human beings. We're not saints, we're sinners. But then again, we hear the comforting words of Jesus to Martha as he comes to the bedside of Lazarus, her brother, and we are back on track. Ah, wow. Martha, Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe it? Do you believe that? John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I would not tell you this if it were not true. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that where I am, there you may be also. We need not fear one iota because of the wonder of it all. Bill and Gloria Gaither, I think, have put it well in the beautiful song they've written. And you know the words. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. This is the good news of Jesus Christ that will never, ever die. Amen.